The Defense Department's success in using biometrics in Iraq and Afghanistan is inspiring the military to expand the use of identification technologies. DoD has several pilots or plans for tests to use biometrics in non-wartime mission areas. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller brings us details of where DoD wants to take this. So, Jason, what are some of those non-theater areas DoD is looking at to use biometrics?
Well, each of the services are implementing biometrics in some way. The Navy, for instance, is borrowing the DHS U.S. visit concept to track sailors who are going on and off ship. Now, when we say track them, we're not talking about, you know, put a chip in the back of their head here, but the actual, as they leave the ship, they have to leave with a buddy. When they come back on the ship, they have to come back with that same person.
Right.
And they're using that for that. Captain Gail Bovey is a special assistant for anti-terrorism for the Navy, and she describes how this personal accountability system or PASS works.
And one of the items we have going on right now is we have program office, the CAC program office, that is looking at the use of a handheld device with a virtual transaction manager to be able to transmit the information back to the ship. The USS Cole, a very good friend of mine, was in Yemen at the embassy stationed there, and my husband was stationed in Djibouti at the time. And on the USS Cole pulled in that day for a standard brief stop for fuel. You often have people coming on board to give you supplies. It could be bread, milk, food. It could be a lot of different things. When the coal incident happened, I was stationed with the chief of naval personnel. And the problem was is we did not know who was on board the ship, who was on board the pier, or who had possibly already gone on liberty to talk to the port authorities. So this program also helps us do that. This PASS program allows us to use biometrics at the quarterdeck to be able to know who's on board, who is off board at any given time.
The Marines are using the Common Access Card, or the CAC card, as a virtual wallet. Bob Gilson from the Defense Department's Defense Manpower Data Center explains.
Treasury has cards that have been issued for the last 4 or 5 years now, mostly OCONUS and the AORs, that are used as money. In fact, right now, if you go over to most of the bases overseas, they don't have change anymore. They give you POCs, little round things that look like coins but are cardboard. And that's the money that actually exists on the bases. So they don't even do cashiering anymore. They just use these treasury cards. While the treasury cards are smart card-based and they grew up independently across the different enterprises of the Army and the Navy and the Marine Corps and so on. So they're going to build a common enterprise for that. And when we're done, what's going to be the common enterprise across all of them is the reduction of those cash cards and to roll everything to the common access card.
And finally, DoD will begin in the very near future a proof of concept for federal employees to use their CAC cards to pay for metro fares. This is really specifically happening at Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, hold on. So if people are using their common access cards to pay for metro, this is in a test phase right now. I know people in D.C. would love that.
They would. In fact, we've got to be clear here. This is in the very early stages. Yeah. But once they show that this can work, which is the key here is to connect cards on the Metro back end to the system, so any card that meets the Metro card standard can work. Again, DoD's Gilson explains what Salt Lake City is doing.
One of the things they wanted to do is to be able to use the government ID cards. We volunteered to be a first proof of concept with that, and we're also working with the managed service office over at GSA. For the purposes of actually having some other partners in this, we're looking at the FBI, the IRS, and Interior's Bureau of Land Management as well. And with those people located in the Salt Lake City area, we're going to, in a proof of concept, prove that we can actually use their ID cards in the transit system.
Now, DoD is in early stages in discussions with the Washington Area Metro Transit Authority, WMATA, to implement this concept here in D.C. Once again, it's proven in Salt Lake City. But Gilson says a few things have to happen at WMATA before they can go forward.
They're currently in development of their one card, and they would very much like to make the one card technology match the PIV card technology. And so we'll be in close discussion with them going forward right now to see how, between the city government and ourselves, we can ensure that that technology then will be built correctly within WMATA in order to support that effort. WMATA has actually, within the last 2 weeks, I think, actually issued an RFP for an open system. So there are several pieces that are coming together as you see the big sphere starting to move.
So DOD hopes to test this proof of concept in Utah this fall and then maybe move out with pilots once they prove it can work.
So the ability, will that ability then for to use employee ID cards to pay for metro fares be available for like all feds, all contractors, or is it just for DOD?
Initially, they're starting with DOD, but I think it's eventually it's going to be available to everybody, both employees, contractors, me, you, anyone else, because basically it's all based on how your debit card, your credit card works at the grocery store or anywhere else. Now, once this proof of concept is completed, the government will also put your metro check or your metro subsidy right on your card, and then you can also add a personal funding source such as that debit or credit card. Gilson says deploying in Washington is their ultimate goal.
In the government subsidy area right now, there's probably between 35 and 37,000 people that have that kind of support from the government to ride public transportation. In addition to that, there's a huge number of people as we look forward to the PIV-I concept, where private sector industry also will have a card similar that you now can bring in all of the defense contractors and everybody who has that like-type technology on the card to be used in the metro system as well, substantially reducing the requirement for smart trip cards and using their own cards instead to access back-end money rather than money that's on cards.
So it seems like a real challenge to coordinate all these initiatives. How is DOD doing that?
Well, they have a lot going on across all the services, as we've been talking about. But the coordination role really falls to the Army. Lisa Swan is the Deputy Director of the Services Biometrics Task Force, and she explains.
The mission of my office is to coordinate, synchronize, and really reach out across all of the Department of Defense activities touching biometrics. Not that we are in any way controlling those things, but we do try to influence them because there are so many pieces of DOD, each with their own mission, and many of them using biometrics. We're trying to kind of keep folks moving in loose formation in the same direction. So that's half of our mission. The other half is we own and operate the authoritative biometrics database. And so our office has all the fingerprints, face, iris, the biometrics that are being taken in DOD today on adversaries and unknowns.
Now, DOD calls these adversaries and unknowns the reds and the gray. So, for instance, and now DOD is heading towards the blues. Now, the blues in this means friendlies or military personnel or coalition partners. Swan says blue functions are that they're also looking to add biometrics are the business areas to improve security, ease of use. Business areas could be HR, could be finance, could be, you know, again, access to bases, so physical security. And in fact, DOD issued a strategic plan around biometrics about a year ago with 4 goals, 21 objectives. And that's what's really driving this use across the department.
So clarify something for me, mm-hmm. and maybe you touched on it and I missed it. So I apologize if this is a redundant type of question, but who's going to be in charge of that? A part of those cards. Would that be DOD? Could you have somebody from NIH using their ID card to ride the metro and DOD is responsible for keeping track of that data?
No, not at all. It's WMATA would be in charge of it. So because the way the cards work is the way the technology works is you have the cards point to what they call the back end database.
Right.
So instead of everything being put on the card, you're pointing the card to your credit card or your debit card, bank account even.
So your bank account information wouldn't necessarily be on the card. But
no.
The card could access your bank account information.
Right. So know that once you go on the metro and you need $1.35 to ride from, you know, Metro Center to Foggy Bottom, it knows that you have the funds are available.
And that would be a one-way transmission of information?
As far as what they're looking at, right. It'd be put your card on.
Yeah.
It would connect to the back-end database that says, yes, Amy Morris has the funds to pay for this. And then it would let you through the gate. So it's very similar to when, you know, you go to the grocery store and you put your card in for your debit card or the way credit cards work. It's, are they approved? Yes, move on. And your card doesn't actually hold any of the data, but it's the token, if you will, to get in, to make the connection work.
So your ID card for the federal government would have a dual purpose.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the plan all along. It's not just to be a – it's both for physical and logical security was the purpose all along. So it's already planned to have dual. And the cards are getting bigger. So without getting into the weeds too much, basically when they first introduced the CAT card couldn't hold a lot of memory, didn't have a lot of memory on it. Right now they can hold more memory, so they're able to do more things because they have more what they call containers to put those different functions in.
Does anybody have any privacy issue problems with that at all that you know of?
Well, and it's a voluntary choice. You don't have to get your Metro
it's
check
not
there.
Not automatically.
No.
Got it.
The issue becomes it's going to be there are lines in the Pentagon every, you know, the
month.
I think it's the first Tuesday of every month that they hand out these checks, and you have to go wait in line, and it's an arduous process. And from what I hear, there's big lines, and you have to schedule and blah, blah, blah. You know, people would like to avoid that. So it's a typical convenience thing.
And you're also carrying multiple cards right now at DOD. If you can get everything on your CAC card or eventually your HSPD 12 card, that's one less ID card, one less Metro card you have to carry. It's as Chris said, it's convenience. And I think they'll have some privacy issues. I think you're absolutely right for pointing that out.
And the team, and if you read the president's cybersecurity review, they talk about privacy and civil liberties issues all through there. I think that applies both inside government and outside. No one wants to get into the issue of whether this becomes a national ID. You know, everyone talks about...
Oh, I wasn't even going there, but since you brought it up,
I mean, if all feds carry these, that's, you know, millions of people who have these.
It's a voluntary thing.
Yes.
The common access card is not voluntary itself. You have
to
get
but
into the building.
But if you want to use it for stuff like Metro.
But if you want to use it for other things, it is voluntary. Now, increasingly, like the Navy is looking to go cashless on subs. They don't want people to have to carry. So those would be loaded up with
which
you know,
is what the Marines have been doing outside the U.S.
Right.
A lot of this is the security is almost built in. It gives you a lot of power. And I think the security issues, because everyone's worried about them and thinks about them. It's funny. People worry about it in this way, and yet they use their credit cards without thinking twice about it.
Yeah, but my credit card's not tied to the Pentagon, Chris. That's my point.
But it's actually more accessible than a lot of the Pentagon data is.
And just... The other thing to keep in mind is that when the Marines, for instance, are going cashless, that is a mandatory thing.
Right, sure,
but that's,
yes.
That's within the DOD. That's something that the Defense Department controls. They tell you what to do and you do it.
Yeah, because you're a Marine.
There you go. You made that choice. But at the same time, the idea of either standing in line for 2 hours to get your Metro check or come in early so you can stand in line for 45 minutes or an hour to get it put on your card automatically, I would guess here, but I think a lot of people would be much more happier, and the privacy issues may not be as strong around that.
I'm just wondering if you had heard anything in your research
They're still too early in the process because they're just in that what they call the proof of concept, which is much... I was saying it's a pilot, and Bob Gilson was like, no, it's a proof of concept.
It's not even to a pilot stage
right,
yet.
Exactly.
They're very cognizant of it.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I got to ask you the question, which is
more tomorrow. Absolutely, on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Jay Norris.
Not tomorrow, more Friday.
Friday, yes.
We're going into we're going to enjoy the whole team. A Federal News Radio team is enjoying baseball tomorrow, so it's best of all day tomorrow on Federal News Radio. But this will be on Friday,
and of course on federalnewsradio.com,
and you can still hear it there.